You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Live. Welcome to Pure Nintendo's, February 26, 2013 podcast. I'm joined here by Matt and Ben.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. I want to start out with my question of what is your favorite pizza topping? And we'll start with Matt.
I'm going to go with mushrooms this week because all the mushroom pizzas I had in New York were awesome.
Ben, who I don't know if he has audio.
Oh, hey. We can just kind
of just, there we go.
Yeah, I hate mushrooms. I think mushrooms are disgusting. I love olives. That's probably my top pick for toppings on a pizza. Although I've had corn before, and that was actually really good. Surprisingly so.
Broccoli's good, too.
Broccoli. Have you ever had a...
Oh, gosh, these toppings.
My favorite toppings is probably that banana peppers and pineapple. You get kind of the spicy and sweet taste at the same time. Mm. It's good.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so let's dive into some of the big topics in these last 2 weeks. At least the ones that caught my eye when I went through our website. The first one is that the Wii U gamepad replacement cost $150.
Ouch.
Yeah. The story is that some NeoGAF member, Delta, lost his luggage. With that, he lost his gamepad, power adapter, and the sensor bar. And when he went to replace it, Nintendo charged him $150 plus shipping to replace it. So that's not cheap. And it is actually on par with...
That's like a third of the cost of a new Wii U.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of people on Twitter and stuff were comparing it to, like, you can buy a Vita for $250. So I know that's a weird tie-in, but then again... The Vita does a little bit more at $250 compared to $150. But,
yeah. That seems absurd.
But it is tied in
with... Hey, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Can you put the link in the chat so I can put it on Facebook?
Yes.
Awesome.
And that is on par, though, because, you know, you can buy the gamepad in Japan. It's about 13,000 yen, so it comes out to about $150 anyway. So it's not really getting price gouged, because it's the same.
I mean, yeah, it just seems like that's crazy, since it's the third of a new Wii U.
Exactly. A lot of costs in there.
Just buy a new Wii U.
Might as well. And you have this case, the system breaks, you got a backup.
There you go.
You can keep one in each room and just walk around with the gamepad and sync to it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm kind of dragging my feet a little bit.
What if you synced it to both Wii U's? Is that even possible?
No.
No.
Hey, he is dragging my feet and he's here.
Quick, pizza topping, go.
Let's go.
Favorite pizza topping, go.
What?
We'll get you caught up. Favorite pizza topping.
Pizza topping?
Yes.
Kalamata olives.
Ooh, fancy.
Thank you.
All right, we were just talking about olives. I said banana peppers and pineapple.
Nice. Let me get some headphones real quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that 150, pretty expensive.
Well, I mean, and I don't feel like the price is that bad or is bad. Like you're saying that, you know, Avita or like other comparable items are not, are priced at higher price points. It just seems odd that a brand new Wii with a gamepad is pretty much the gamepad is a third of the price of a Wii U. I guess that's not too absurd.
Well, then the question is, when you want to get into these double gamepad games, are you going to pay $150 extra plus a game?
That's a lot for a controller. That's a lot of money for a controller.
Even if they lower it to like $100 and throw in a game.
It would be between like... Yeah. Well, I feel like it would be between two current Wii U owners, like, oh, I'm going to go over to Justin's house and play whatever and bring my controller with me, my gamepad with me.
Yeah.
So that would be, I guess, cool.
Yeah, I could see it more in that case than
my thoughts
selling it by itself. But I think if they do sell it by itself, you know, it'll probably be $100 at least. I know you're probably talking about that $150.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yep.
For shipping and all that, but I don't know. I wonder if they're also trying to recoup cost. So you know, when they actually did like an MSRP on it, it's $99, but a replacement, you know, is going to be $140 plus shipping. I could see them taking a hit on that to try and get it at a more decent price if they're selling it by itself.
All right, so in the next news that came out this week was the Wii U Mini launching in Europe. Oh. Pretty good. I don't want to be quoted on this, but the Wii U Mini actually did fairly decent in Canada. I don't know if anyone saw it. It was 50,000, 60? Which isn't horrible, but isn't good, but it's a lot better than you would think. What I heard was going to be about 60 or 70 euros, so about $100 for the Wii U Mini in Europe.
That thing is such an awful machine. It's just, it's a gimped Wii.
Yeah. And it's pretty poorly designed from, or maybe not poorly designed, but it's more toy-like. Like even the construction is just very plasticky, very, you know, like what you would give, you know, maybe a 6-year-old that didn't know how to take care of electronics very well, you know, that was going to muck it up or, you know. Anyways.
And the next news that came out, well, it's more of a rumor, but I'm pretty sure it's true. The Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. It looks to be possibly piratey, and if anyone saw the post today, supposedly on the back of that poster, there was a map of Cuba. That rumored demo poster. So it may have something to do with Cuba.
Oh.
Yeah. That it would make sense. Did they have...
Oh, I'm half Cuban.
My wife's Cuban.
Yeah.
No, that event, I don't know. Like, it could have been behind closed doors.
With family.
Yeah,
that event could have been behind closed doors, I have a feeling.
Okay.
But, so we, I don't know when we hear about it.
So it could be under NDA or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that it came, you know, so fast after Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for like a main numbered game in the series, because it seems like after 2 they did a couple
They did like Brotherhood.
Brotherhood and you know, a couple different spin-offs, I guess, but and they've already done like three DLC packs for Assassin's Creed 3. So I don't know, maybe they're figuring that with 4, it sounds like it's gonna be tied in more with the plot of 3. You know, almost like a prequel, so they're like, hey, might as well get it out there, and it's like a whole big saga around that same time period. But I, you know, I love that setting, and I'm sure after they saw reviews for 3, you know, people really liked the naval sea battles. And yeah, it was kind of funny because they weren't originally going to have that in there. It was kind of a last, you know, they kind of put it in there. It almost didn't make it in the final version. But I think that's a really cool element. So to have that is, you know, maybe you have like an open world ocean or something, and you have your ship and you're cruising around, and, you know, something like that would be pretty cool.
And you go explore those different South America countries like Cuba or...
Yeah, all the different islands.
Island Bahamas, whatever down there.
That'd be cool. Yeah, hey, you know, Assassin's Creed is already pretty open world, but it's kind of segmented. You know, you have these fast travel locations, and you know, it's kind of open when you travel to an area. But it'd be cool if the naval parts were really, you know, wide open.
Kind of like a Wind Waker, where you have to travel to different islands and locations.
Yeah, you know? And you could do fast travel too, but it'd be cool to have that where if you did decide to sail between islands, you have, you know, random pirates that'll come along or something. I don't know, but
I like that idea, but I don't know if I like that idea in the Assassin's Creed franchise.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was one of the things I think people complained about with 3 was you're not scaling up so many buildings anymore. You're going through trees, and it just seems like it's taken a little bit more of the assassin out of Assassin's Creed.
Hmm. Yeah. That way.
Yeah, you're like a more emphasizing the parkour, the, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And the there weren't as many stealthy kills.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stealth kills. I mean, yeah. I mean, the idea, I like the idea. I like the open world sailing around. It's just, it doesn't lend itself well to the Assassin's Creed series. I don't know. That's the word I was going for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next news that came out today, and I wish Jay Money was here. Need for Speed, March 19th for North America, and March 21st for Europe.
I think that's old news.
There's a press release just came out.
Really?
Yeah, came out today.
Where did you see it?
Games Press.
I think that may have been the Europe release, because if you look on your post, scroll down, it'll show the related posts. Mm-hmm. And you can see on January, and you can see in the date, it says January 17, 2013. And you can see your post, you actually posted it back on January 17. It says Need for Speed races to Wii U March
19. Yeah.
I think it may be a repeat.
Well, it comes out 19th and 21st in Europe.
Yeah, they may have finalized the European release today. I don't know, but yeah, that's really weird. Yeah, Games Press posted. What are they doing? Huh. Yeah, 227. But yeah, it takes you to EA site. It says January 17 on it. Anyway, but yeah. So yeah, we've known about the March 19. But I'm excited for it. Really excited.
Yeah.
I think the did you read the impressions that Matt wrote up? Not you, Matt. Different Matt. Did you read him, Matt?
I did.
Yeah. They were interesting. You know, he was kind of you know, it was basically a friend of a friend that wrote up the impressions, and they were good. They were, you know, candid. I don't know. I'm still excited to play it. I think the co-driver mode will be, you know, a little bit more in depth and more fun than what he was talking about, you know, just having it for, you know, if a kid wants to play or something. I think it'll be pretty fun to drive around with someone else. So I don't know. What did you guys think of it?
I'm not huge on like the more serious racing games. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably gonna have to pass on this opinion. I mean, it looks great. I mean, all those, you know, serious driving games, they all look gorgeous, and I always loved that, and, like, the aesthetics were beautiful. So, I mean, there's that, but I just never felt an appeal to play those kinds of games.
Yeah. So do you not like the arcade style, or you just don't like the racing sim?
I just don't like the racing sim. I do like the more, I guess, wacky things, you want to say. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved way back in the N64 Need for Speed 2024, I think that was called.
There was a Rush game that was Rush 2024, I think.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun, but you were doing like going off half pipes in your car and doing flips and stuff like that, and that was just amazing.
Yeah, that was actually one of my favorite games. Well, not the futuristic one, but Rush 2. They had Rush, and they called it San Francisco Rush, and then Rush 2. But Rush 2 was incredible because they had these maps where it was just a stunt mode. And it was basically just a physics playground. I mean, they were basically experimenting with some basic car physics, and it was so floaty. Your cars could fly for, like, you know, 4,000 feet. But they had like these sandboxes and stuff that you could vault your car and do all sorts of flips and get points for. I love that. So. Anyways, that was lots of fun back then.
Yeah. I have always been a big Need for Speed fan. Well, I can't say always, but I've been a Need for Speed fan for a long time. My first introduction to Need for Speed was on the PC. And I've only played Need for Speed on the PC. So I'd say I'm definitely interested in this game and playing it on the Wii U. I think it looks great. And the features, cause I wrote a little preview in the last issue of the magazine, and I think the features are sounding pretty amazing. With, you know, as long as they pull it off, you know, as long as they pull everything off, I think it's going to be a really good game, especially for Need for Speed fans. I mean, I've always been a fan of like the racing games, maybe a little bit more like this, because I love Cruisin' USA. Mm-hmm. I love the Cruisin' series, so I feel like that might be a little bit more on par with Need for Speed, but I'm excited. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I played Need for Speed games on the PC, and I've played some of the more racing sim versions like Need for Speed Shift, Shift 2 Unleashed, Porsche Unleashed, and those are really fun, and I love having the racing wheel and all the pedals and shifter. I love all that stuff. But I think for the console with a controller, I like having that arcade feel, just you know, just going fast, you know, getting away from cops, stuff like that. So I'm excited. Actually, the last Need for Speed game I got for a console was Need for Speed Most Wanted on the GameCube. So this will be my first Need for Speed game on a console since that one, and it's a remake. But maybe not totally a remake. I guess it's just using the same name, I guess. I don't know.
And next up, Watch Dogs is coming to the Wii U.
Yes. It's
been officially announced.
Yes.
What all we have to say about that?
you're like, your thoughts. I already gave it to you. That's it.
that's about it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. No.
We're moving on. Matthew, you want to talk about? Oh, Matt, you can call Matt or Matthew.
Matt's fine.
Matt, talk about what is it?
Graymore?
Is that how you say it, Graymore?
I'm hoping that's what it is. I mean, I've heard it enough times, and I just that doubt in the back of my mind that it's really Cryamore.
Yeah, that's the way it's spelled.
That's the way it's spelled. Yeah, I was like, I don't know, it's Cryamore.
It's anyway. Probably 5-4. I'm going to go with that. I might switch it up. But yeah, it's I just happened to come across it, you know, searching news sites and stuff like that, and it's a little indie game that's heavily inspired by games of, you know, older generations. We got, like, I think they listed their inspirations like Mega Man, Chrono Trigger, Legend of Zelda, Super Metroid, Secret of Mana, Final Fantasy VI. There are a few others in there. Brave Fencer Musashi, I believe, was another one of those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, you know, all these, you know, great games, inspiring games. And they're kind of putting it all together, and it's going to be this top-down action RPG adventure game. And it's by Nostalgigo. I believe that's the name of the studios. They don't list on the main site for, you know, whatever reason that is. But, yeah, Nostalgigo, it's a group based out of Chicago, Illinois. And the reason I heard about them was they came through a Kickstarter. And their initial goal was $60,000. And that was going to get their game on 3 platforms, which was Windows, Steam, and Mac OS. But they blew past that, and their next promise was if we got $225,000, then we could port it to the main consoles, Wii U being included. Well, they blew past that, and they raised $248,000. Yeah. So they will definitely be going to these new consoles, so be expecting to see Cryomor coming up to the Wii U. I believe their announcement was around March 2014, so it's still a ways off. Mm-hmm. But the things I've seen about it look great. They've got art assets. They've got an early alpha build in there that lets you explore like one room and fight a couple monsters. And that was pretty good. The music's amazing. They got the characters on there. It's going to feature full voice acting, which I think will be pretty good. I'm not sure what else I can say right now. I kind of like dumped it all out there.
Yeah. Nice. That's
cool.
Well, yeah, I'm excited just seeing all of these indie games, you know, coming to the Wii U. It seems like every week we're hearing about new, you know, indie games, Cloudberry Kingdom, which, you know, was confirmed a while ago, but you know, all these different games just coming out and be like, yeah, we're going on Wii U, coming to Wii U, you know. So, you know, it's encouraging to see, and it's kind of what, you know, was rumored last year before the Wii U came out that, you know, Nintendo was working more closely with indie developers and trying to, you know, get rid of some of the restrictions. So it's nice to see that start to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of my best times on Wii U with indie games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, trying to, and all these
the Cave.
Other... Mm-hmm, Cave and...
And Bit Trip Runner 2 just came out for anybody looking to pick that up.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that one looks really good.
Mm-hmm. I've seen footage of it already, and yeah, it looks like solid gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of makes me excited for what's the Game Freak game on the 3DS? Harmonite.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because that's like a rhythm platformer as well, like Bit Trip Runner. That should be fun to play.
Should that just be called a new genre now? Should we just call it like musical platformer?
Yeah. Yeah, rhythm, musical platformer, something. It's an interesting hybrid. I never would have put those two together, but
I've seen a couple concepts like that on iOS, and they were pretty addicting.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll have rhythm first-person shooters. Probably not.
No.
That would be really interesting. I challenge somebody out there listening to pull that off.
Yes, yes. Rhythm FPS. Go. Oh,
all right, well, last time we had the KubaCast, the big news was the Rayman Legends delay. Oh. So now, what, 2 weeks later, with the announcement of that challenge mode coming out in April, Ubisoft basically cutting 30% off of almost all Wii U games. What is your fan with Watch Dogs coming? What is your feeling towards Ubisoft right now?
I just feel sorry for the dev team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling such long shifts so constantly, just crunching it in there, making sure they were going to meet the deadline, which they were guaranteed to make. And we were like 3 weeks out, or 3 weeks, or 2 weeks until, you know, it launches. And all of a sudden, Ubisoft just comes out and says, nope, we're going to wait. We're going to make this available to all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, you know, and you know, it that was just really sad to see.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think everyone will get totally over it. I think Ubisoft has done a couple things that, you know, it's okay. Sure, the challenge mode will be fun to play on the Wii U, and but I think since there's never been something like this, you know, a case like this, at least that I can think of in the last 10 years, where a game is 2.5 weeks from release and gets delayed 7 months, you know, it's going to be hard to win fans over. I think, you know, you're not going to win everybody back who was going to buy the game initially. And I've even seen on forums where someone was like, well, I canceled my Wii U pre-order and I pre-ordered it for 360 or whatever just for the achievements or something like that. And it's like, you know, you're going to have people that are going to do that. The Wii U version, I think, will suffer. You know, I think the developers is really who you feel sorry for most. But anyways,
did you guys
I'm excited for Watch Dogs and all that, but it's still disappointing.
Did you guys see the statement from Ubisoft CEO this morning? Like, it rubbed me the wrong way, even though what he said was true.
Yeah.
It's just CEO talking out of his butt, basically.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
he's like,
what did he say?
He's like, oh, now, yeah, we can make it, it's going to be better now with this delay and stuff. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But that's...
But it was good before.
It was good before. Obviously, if you have more time, you can do more things to it.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully they don't try to do too much with it and just flood it with a whole bunch of half-done.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. And then, I mean, you think they would have learned from Rayman Origins.
Yeah.
They came out in the middle of just huge releases. Mm-hmm. And swept under the radar.
Yep. And it's a beautiful game. I mean, both of these games, the engine that they developed, the UBR engine, is awesome. And so it just stinks to see it just keep getting pushed to the back burner almost.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like if the company, if Ubisoft thinks, you know, that little of the game, you know, what does that say for customers? You know, they're like, oh, wow, they keep delaying it, they're pushing it back, going multi-platform, you know, are they really putting all their effort into it, you know, do they really believe in this game?
Yeah, because they haven't really announced the release date for Watch Dogs, but it may be very close to one of the big titles of Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Watch Dogs could go October, next year. November or something, yeah, but it could be October, November, which is kind of going up. You have like a month buffer, possibly, of sales before Watch Dogs comes out.
Yeah. And they're different genres, but still it's, you know, it's money at that point. You know, people aren't going to, you know, they're going to choose. I have two games to buy out of 20 that are coming out, or 50, depending on how many systems they have, you know. And if they want Watch Dogs more, they're going to buy Watch Dogs and not Rayman, even though they're completely different games. But. Or GTA 5 or whatever.
I'm saying, well, being different games has nothing to do with them, because there's a lot going on out there at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're going up against GTA. They're going up against possibly another Mario Wii U title. Who knows when Nintendo's going. Now they're going up against their own title, their own other title, their own juggernaut, which supposedly, mm-hmm, hopefully is Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like Nintendo releasing a Mario game, and then let's say we're going to release Mario Kart a month later, which they've kind of done, 3DS versions, but mm-hmm, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you start to cannibalize your own games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other big news from 2 weeks ago was Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start with that. It was just a ton. The year of Luigi. Finally, Luigi gets some love.
Yeah.
About time.
Yep. Yeah, very excited for all of those games, specifically the Mario and Luigi game. Always a big fan of that series.
Yeah, I had to go back and look at the press release because I forgot exactly everything that was announced.
Mm, yeah, there was the new Luigi Bros. Or sorry, Luigi U. Is that what they called it?
Luigi
yeah,
U.
New Luigi yeah. U. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bros is out since it's just his game or something.
It's just all Luigi.
Mm-hmm. Mario Luigi Dream Team.
Yeah, that one looks so good. Did you guys play Bowser's Inside Story?
I did.
I played some of it, yeah.
Okay. Like, the art style is just... I just love the style that they do. Especially in Bowser's Inside Story. I just thought they perfectly did the 2D pixel art. You know, it's just very bright, colorful, fresh-looking. And I think they really did a good job of translating it into 3D polygon graphics, too. Seems like they translated that style that they did in the DS games over really well to the 3DS game. So, excited for them. And what other games were there?
Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for that.
They showed off Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Yeah, that's right.
And they showed off more, to talk more about Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. which I wasn't really super excited for Animal Crossing until this direct. And actually, this Animal Crossing looks really one of the best, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like they're pulling out a lot of features that people wanted for a long time, you know, being a mayor of your own town. Mm-hmm. Tons more customization, online features look to be really fun too. So, and the 3DS has a lot of potential for that too now, you know, over the DS. A lot more people are online, and Spot Pass, Street Pass features will be really cool with that. So, it almost seems like Spot Pass and Street Pass, well, Street Pass especially, were designed for Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, you know, that's, they almost named it Street Pass because of Animal Crossing.
They showed off, they announced the Zelda Miiverse community.
Yeah,
which is right. Actually really cool. I don't know if you guys checked it out. There's some cool artwork in that community.
Yeah.
Showed off a lot more of Lego City Undercover.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be my must-buy game for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the same. That's March 19, isn't it?
18, it says here.
18. Okay, so day before Need for Speed and Monster Hunter.
That's gonna be a tense week.
I know. That's crazy. Whew. We have a bunch of games there.
Hmm. So, what's up?
Oh, no, I was gonna change topic. Go ahead.
I said, so I'm guessing I'm gonna be handling the news that week.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's going to shut down that week?
Yep, yeah. There's lots of games. Go play them. We'll see you next week.
I kind of wanted to do that with Skyward Sword. Be like, see you guys in like 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but, I'm so excited about Zelda stuff. Oh, you're probably going to change the topic.
No, keep going.
You know, Zelda Wii U, it wasn't this last Nintendo Direct, but the one before that, mm-hmm. where they announced, you know, Zelda Wii U and Wind Waker HD.
I am so pumped for Wind Waker HD.
Oh, yeah. Same here. Do you guys think that Nintendo will talk about Zelda Wii U at all at E3? Or do you just show Wind Waker? Or
I think there'll be a teaser trailer about it.
Yeah.
They'll at least say something about it.
Yeah, I think they'll at least talk.
No way they would. They can't ignore that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with that kind of teasing, like, oh, we're gonna change playing by yourself, and you know, more departure from doing the dungeons in a certain order and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a trailer. But maybe we'll see maybe an evolution of or something where they're trying to explain what they're trying to do with it. Kind of like in that last Nintendo Direct, they're like, we're tinkering with getting rid of these ideas. Then they probably see what people's feedback are, you know, is on the announcement. And then they'll probably tease some more stuff. Oh, we're going to change how we do this. And because, I mean, we have to remember Skyward Sword came out 15 months ago. I mean,
well, that's the trailer. I didn't mean a full, I mean like a teaser trailer. Well, when they, Wind Waker, they had that teaser trailer. It had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
They showed off that one time. So,
yeah.
So like, I think they have to, they may have to show something or maybe just a logo or.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's a unique case, this E3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though Skyward Sword came out not that long ago, it's a unique case in the sense that you have PS4 and the new Xbox coming out at the end of the year. You kind of want to show a lot more that's coming in your lineup, even if it's still a year and a half down the road. I think we could see a trailer there.
Yeah.
And especially since they already showed that concept demo 2 years ago, right? That first year they showed the Wii U. So.
Oh, where he fought the spider?
Yeah, the spider demo. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because that was that'll be 2 years ago this E3. So, anyways, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think they'll focus a lot on Wind Waker HD. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we'll just probably come out and explain, yeah, we have this new Zelda coming out down the line. But I think that'll be a huge focus. It'll be the Zeldas, and then, of course, it'll be the 3D Mario, because they're just going to really hammer home these system sellers. Mm-hmm. Here's why you need to stick with the Wii U, where, you know.
Yeah, and another thing, I think, is they need to emphasize these third-party games, these cross-gen games like Watch Dogs. You know, make sure they get Assassin's Creed 4. You know, if it's like the past games, it'll come out in October, right?
Yeah.
All the Assassin's Creed games come out every year, every October. So that positions AC4 to be a cross-gen game like Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would definitely think we'll see it on the Wii U since 3 was. So I think Nintendo needs to get all of those main multi-platform games for this holiday, in addition to all of their, you know, system sellers, like you said, Mario Karts, Mario, all that stuff.
Yeah, I actually don't think they should talk about Wind Waker too much. They run the risk of people be like, oh, they're just talking about an old game. Even though it's a remake, it looks a lot nicer. The game's, what, 5, 6 years old?
Ten years, because they.
It's 10 years old. Holy crap!
Yeah, because that's why they announced it as a 10-year anniversary.
I don't think that.
It came out 2002. It was like an April or May release or something. Well, it came out in end of 2001, maybe for Japan. That doesn't sound right. Let me verify this. Bum.
Came out 2003 in North America, March 24th.
Ah, 2003, yeah. Yeah, because it's 2013 now. Duh, yeah. Yeah, so it came out in December 2002. Yeah, that's right. And then March, yeah. I remember I skipped school that day to go pick it up. It was a good day. It was a good day.
I believe I pre-ordered mine. And I got the Master Quest disc.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what I did. Got the Master Quest disc, pre-ordered it, and I only missed one class or something. It was high school, so it was like the last period in the day or something. But went down, picked it up, played that. Oh, so good. Anyway. Sorry, I went off topic on Zelda. It's easy to do.
Oh, yeah. Moving right along. I'm going to skip over some stuff because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
27th anniversary of Zelda. Favorite Zelda games? Yo.
Like a top 5 or something?
Top 1.
Shoot.
Mine is Wind Waker. Even though I didn't know when it came out.
You don't have to know.
I've played it 3 or 4 times. All the other Zelda games I've played only probably once, possibly twice.
Yeah, we have played through that one many times. But it's good. And I will play it again all the way through in this one.
But it wouldn't be that hard because we want to play it. Yeah. We get to enjoy the beauty of it, travel around, look at things.
Yeah. I may even collect all the pictures and everything as I go through so I can get the statues at that one island.
Yeah.
Where you can collect all the statuettes. I 100%
get the armor.
Yeah.
Did you get the armor?
Oh, yeah, I got the armor. I 100%ed everything. And then I found out about the statues. And I was like, and I already played like, 120 hours in it or something. And I was like, all right, next playthrough, I'll do this. So I've got two.
Since when do you sit up here?
Well, I guess that's it. I wanted to talk about used games being blocked and how that affects industry, but we'll do that next time.
That's new. Cuscios and Huspop.
Until next time, see you guys later.
All right.
Bye.